Good morning, Grace. And a special good morning and thank you to your rector, my friend and sister, the Reverend Millie Morrow, for inviting me to preach for you this morning. I come to you from Cape Town, South Africa, where I am here to help my family with some of the care of my parents. And I ask that you hold us all in your prayers at this time. And I was hoping to show you a beautiful backdrop of Cape Town as part of this sermon, that I thought I would be able to preach with maybe Table Mountain behind me or show you the ocean. And unfortunately, we are experiencing very high winds here, and so I could not offer you a beautiful landscape. So I offer you this, my parents' living room, as my pulpit. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. On this Sunday, we are blessed with three wonderful scriptures that speak to us, I hope, today, where we find ourselves, and we're speaking words of challenge and commandment to God's people. So our Hebrew Bible is from Deuteronomy, where Moses is telling the people of Israel how they must carry themselves as they move into this new land that God has promised them. So in the readings that come before and after our specific readings this morning, they are taught about sacrifices, how to sacrifice, what to sacrifice. They are taught about adultery, about murder, about what are the commandments that they should follow now that they take possession of this land God has given them. They are told about the role of priests, the responsibility of the priests, and people's responsibility to their priests. And in this particular section, he speaks of God's promise to raise up from amongst the Israelites themselves, another prophet. A prophet who will keep them in the knowledge of God's commandments. A prophet who will remind them of their covenant with God. A prophet who will constantly be there for them, an intermediary between God and God's people. A prophet who will be called to exhort them. A prophet who will be called to challenge them. A prophet who will be called to remind them always what it means to be the children of God. What it means to be a group that has been freed from slavery by God, who has been led through the wilderness, through temptations, through battles with enemy, to finally take possession of this land. And the responsibility that is then theirs, the Israelites, as God's people, how they must live in this new land that God is giving them. And Paul, in this letter to the Corinthians, is doing basically the same thing to those who have become Christians. Those who have been baptized by Paul and other apostles into the faith. And Paul is reminding them in this letter, what are the expectations of children of God? What is expected of you in terms of circumcision or non-circumcision? What is expected of you in terms of marrying or not marrying? What is expected in terms of being a virgin? What does it mean to be married to a non-believer? That all of this, Paul is giving instructions in how to live a Christian life. And in this particular part that we read this morning, he speaks especially not just about our responsibility to not sin ourselves, but our responsibility to our fellow Christians. Particularly here, he speaks about those who are still young in the faith. What is the responsibility of you who have been baptized, who have been members of this community? That it is not simply to make sure that you are not sinning, but to make sure that in your living, you are not leading some of God's creatures astray. These two lessons speak also to us. They ask us, what does it mean to be God's people? What does it mean when we say we accept God's call on our lives, that we proclaim ourselves Christian? What does that mean for us today? That just as the Israelites and just as the new Christians in Corinth, there are expectations on us as Christians in this world at this time. And maybe it says something about me that in our three readings, part of my sympathy is actually with those spirits, the evil spirits that possessed that man. Because the spirits say, Jesus of Nazareth, what would you of us? What do you want of us? And I think that I listened to that and I thought, I wake up often and often in the morning and in my first morning prayers say, Jesus, Lord, what would you of me? What do you want from me? How am I supposed to live my life in this time in our world? What is it that you want of me, Jesus of Nazareth? And maybe some of you have that same feel that God, how am I meant to be a witness at this time in the midst of a pandemic? God, how am I meant to live as a Christian at this time of such division in our land? Lord, how am I supposed to show the world your love in a time of such injustice and oppression? And unlike the unclean spirits, fortunately, Jesus does not simply answer us by, get out, but rather, Jesus calls us to pay attention to the wisdom found in our scriptures, and especially to Jesus's own life. That we are called to look out for the prophets that God sends us. We are asked to pay attention to the words of those prophets as they try and keep us in our covenant with God. That we are asked to pay attention to the true prophets and to be aware that the true prophets are very rarely those who are most popular with those in power and those of privilege. That the true prophets are to be found just as the prophets of old, challenging the status quo, questioning a system that is built on the oppression and deprivation of so many of God's children. The prophets of today are just like the prophets that God formed out of the people of Israel, who said, "Thus says the Lord, you cannot cheat the widow and the orphan and say that you are people of God." The prophets that God raises up for us right now are the prophets telling us, you cannot close your eyes to the suffering at the border. You cannot close your eyes to families being separated. You cannot close your eyes to the violence that is the experience of Black people at the hands of the justice system. You cannot simply close your eyes to the widening disparity between the very wealthy and the rest of society. That the prophets whom God forms to rise up for us are the ones who challenge us in our places of comfort. You have been blessed at Grace to have amongst you a prophet called by God to be your rector. Someone who speaks out, even at the cost of her own comfort, about the injustices in our nation and the world. In Asheville, you are blessed to have a gathering of prophets, Faith for Justice, that speaks over and over to the needs for justice in that city, in your state, in our country, and in the world. And all of us are called to live as Paul speaks of the Corinthians, to remember that we have been chosen. We have been called out from our various paths, our various families, our various tribes, nations, languages. We have been called out and called together as God's church, the body of Christ. And that calling means that we have a responsibility not just to worry about our own salvation. Our faith has never been a faith that is about me and God, and if I am fine, then everything is fine. Our faith has always been God calling us to pay attention to how our words, our actions impact the others of God's children. That we cannot be simply caring about whether we are saved or not. We have to care about the well-being and salvation of our brothers and sisters. We have to have the courage to say, "Hear my brother, hear my sister. This is not what God has called us to. God has never called us to diminish others. God has never called us to dehumanize others. God has never called us to be silent in the face of the suffering and oppression of others." So maybe the final word is indeed the word of those spirits. What will you have of us, Jesus of Nazareth? What do you want from us? And unlike those evil spirits, we know that Jesus will answer us with a call to be fully God's body on this earth, showing the world what it means to live as those who have been saved. Amen.